The Fantasy Playbook is partnering with Trophy Smack this draft season to make sure that you have everything you need to celebrate your victories. Trophy Smack is home to the most incredible trophies, championship belts, championship rings, and so much more. And you can win some of these items just for being a listener of the podcast. Head over to the ffplaybook.com/trophysmack-giveaway or click the link in the show notes or your YouTube description and fill out the short form there. You could be entered to potentially win a championship belt or trophy along with a ton of other awesome and amazing prizes. The ffplaybook.com/trophysmack-giveaway or check your show notes on podcasts or the description over on YouTube for all the details. What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by the one, the only Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Fantasy. He can be found on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, it's been a while. How are you today? And I'll say this too. It's August. You keeping busy?
Yeah, very busy. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I am doing great. I'm loving all the news, all the things that are coming out here. We finally have these things to talk about rather than actually speculating for months and months on end. And we have football on the TV tonight. I'm doing about as well as we can possibly be. All right. I want to get into the conversation here today. Must have running backs. But before we do this from time to time, let's do a would you rather question here. Wanted to kind of break things up a little bit here today. Would you rather, Jamie, draft Javonte Williams as the RB11 off the board or Leonard Fournette as the RB12? Players that are going back to back in underdogs ADP. What are your thoughts there? Javonte Williams or Leonard Fournette?
You know, Kyle, my heart wants to say Javonte, but my brain is telling me to take Fournette. I'm excited that, you know, the workload could potentially be what the report is, you know, 70-30 split. Cecil Lamb, he does a great job covering the Broncos. He's the one that reported that. And initially, he was, you know, expecting more of an 80-20 split. I think he's kind of backtracked on it. He said so on Twitter. Fournette, you know, look, Rashad White could be competition. Maybe Keyshawn Vaughn, maybe, you know, the greatest mustache ever, Giovanni Bernard, works his way in there as well. But, you know, I think we kind of know what Tom Brady wants and what he's going to get. I think he's going to get a lot of Leonard Fournette. And so I don't love the offensive line concerns now that Ryan Jensen's going to be out, but yep. I still think Fournette's in such a great spot.
I have to agree with you here. Go Leonard Fournette with Javonte Williams. I would love to see it. And I thought we had it to begin the offseason. I thought we had Javonte Williams as that workhorse back. You know, we had Cecil Lammy. You talked about that earlier today on Twitter, say the 70-30. And then Benjamin Albright, who is very plugged into everything with the Broncos, talking about like a 55-45 split, which is absolutely terrifying. And what we saw last year and prevented Javonte Williams from reaching that ceiling. Looks like we need to be drafting Melvin Gordon a little bit earlier than what we are currently. Let's get into some news items here that have happened since the recording of the last podcast. Thank goodness we only have just a few things to run through rather than taking up 10 minutes to run through all the breaking news. But let's go here. Marquise Brown was arrested on Wednesday on criminal speeding charges. Now, I will say this, if you have not been following along on Twitter, Marquise Brown was at practice today here on Thursday. So it sounds like this is just a sort of minor issue. It might go away here. It does not look like he is going to face a suspension here from the league, but it is worth keeping an eye on as Marquise Brown was arrested on criminal speeding charges in Arizona. Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension is being appealed by the NFL. On Monday, I thought we were done. I'm going to be honest, Jamie. I thought we were done with this saga. I thought we had put this behind us. The NFL and Roger Goodell is going to be appealing this suspension handed down by the judge. And now it looks like they are pushing for an indefinite suspension, a year-long suspension. What is really your take here with Deshaun Watson as we go into 2022? Is he just 100% off your draft board, no matter the format?
Yeah, I pulled him from my rankings. You know, just you can't expect him to play at this point. You know, not obviously for many redraft leagues at this point, but, you know, for the people that are drafting best ball, any type of, you know, formats, dynasty startups, however you're, you know, approaching your drafts, before we get the news, you just can't trust them, you know, so can't trust them to play. Obviously probably can't trust them in general. But, you know, in terms of Watson, no, hands off. And, you know, for the rest of the Browns, Amari Cooper is, you know, a low end number three receiver for me. He's the only one I would consider taking at this point. Chubb and Hunt really don't change that much because I think right. They're going to lean on Chubb tremendously. And I do think if there is a benefit from anybody with Jacoby Brissett, it's probably Kareem Hunt just what his role should be in the passing game, maybe exemplified a little bit more. And so Jacoby Brissett not going to be very good for the Browns fantasy assets.
Let me push back here and just ask this question. If the Browns do go after a Jimmy Garoppolo, whether via trade or he's released by the 49ers, would that change that ranking of Amari Cooper for you at all? Any optimism in some of the other options here, like a David Njoku? What would that do if we did have Jimmy Garoppolo in Cleveland this year?
Yeah, it certainly would make them more appealing, but not as appealing as it would be if it was a, you know, clear, no concern Deshaun Watson. You know, I think the thing that for me with Cooper, and I'm sure you probably feel this way as well, you know, the receiver position is so deep, but there's a group of guys that kind of just get all jumbled together, and I think understandably so. But, you know, with Juju and Jerry Jeudy, and, you know, I think Cooper with a good quarterback is in that mix. Rashad Bateman, Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney, you know, for me, DK Metcalf's in this group, you know, just guys that in that round five, round six range, Cooper probably still be at the back end of it though.
Yeah, I think if you were lumping all those guys together in a tier, Cooper probably falls down to the bottom of it. There's still some upside with a lot of those other players. Whereas if we do have Jacoby Brissett for the majority of the year, even Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not a situation where you can see a path for a ton of upside there with Cooper. The final one here, Diontae Johnson signed a two-year contract extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. Moving into this year, what are your thoughts here on Diontae Johnson? Because we knew what to expect with Big Ben. Now we have a lot of competition here at the wide receiver position with Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin that they brought in, and not to mention Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris. So really quick thoughts here on Diontae Johnson heading into 2022.
I'm just excited that it's over. You know, this was the one that I thought could drag, you know, a little bit longer into the, you know, preseason and maybe even the start of the season, you know, even though he was a hold in, clearly didn't get the mega deal that a lot of guys have been getting, but, you know, certainly compensated enough, and, you know, hopefully we don't have to worry about this for another 2 years, even though if he has another big season, maybe you can expect to raise this offseason. But I think for Diontae Johnson, you know, it's the concern of what is the quality of targets that he's getting? Is the volume still going to be there for him? Because you knew Big Ben and what you were getting from him for Diontae. I think in terms of, you know, with Mitchell Trubisky, hopefully, or maybe Kenny Pickett, maybe there's some more downfield attempts. Maybe there's some different routes that we're going to see. So I think he's still safe as a you know, wide receiver too. I think he's still somebody you can trust as a starter. Maybe not, again, the volume is not going to be there. But the one thing I go back to a lot with Johnson is Trubisky did feature Allen Robinson a lot in 2019. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully we get something similar to that. But I still think he's a safe, you know, number two receiver, somebody I look for in round four.
That's what I would be putting him as too, a low-end wide receiver too, a guy who's incredibly talented. We do have a little bit of concerns though, kind of right, I think right at that tier above the other guys that we talked about with Amari Cooper and the Gabriel Davises, right? Like in that sort of territory, maybe at that back end of the tier right above in that same range. All right, I'm extremely excited to announce this giveaway here for August, a Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. To enter into this giveaway, go over to pristineauction.com/register, sign up with the code playbook to get $10 off your first order, and then go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway. Fill out the short form there. It takes you less than 5 minutes. You'll be entered in to win this potentially Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey. Absolutely beautiful from Pristine Auction. All right, Jamie, let's get into the conversation here today. Let's waste no time. Let's get into must have running backs for 2022. One of my favorite conversations of the offseason. As we look at these guys outside of the first couple rounds, I said this on the must have wide receivers episode where it's like, it would be really easy for us to say, well, Cooper Kupp is my must have wide receiver here for 2022. No, we're going to go a little bit further down the board, and I've seen your list and mine too, kind of, they go together here where we're looking at these players that are not exactly the household names. They're not the names really that you're going to have to spend a premium price for, but the players that we are planting our flag on and saying we're drafting them everywhere that we can this year. So I'm going to turn this over to you. Your first must have running back as we go into 2022.
Yeah. If there's ever a team you want to have a running back for, it's New England Patriots, because you know, this is the easiest backfield to figure out, but it's not Damien Harris though. It's Ramondre Stevenson. And you know, I think the thing that is going to probably sway him, aside from a Damien Harris injury, from being a must-start running back, is if James White cannot start the season and maybe, you know, doesn't even make the final roster because of his hip injury. And so we'll find out, is it going to be Pierre Strong, the rookie that they drafted, or Ty Montgomery, who we know can certainly fill that role as a pass catcher. But if it is Ramondre Stevenson, and he still gets the opportunity to split the rushing downs work with Harris, and then is the Harris injury away from, you know, being that feature guy? We saw that last year in the game against Cleveland when he had 20 carries for over 100 or 400 yards and two touchdowns. But I'm really excited about his potential role in the passing game. And so if he can maybe see a bump in his entire playing time, but certainly be that guy for Mac Jones. And we saw last season, at least the first two games when James White was healthy, six catches each of those two games. You know, they'll still use that position. You know, it may not be Josh McDaniels. Obviously, it's not encouraging that it's Matt Patricia calling plays. But I think Ramondre Stevenson has that lottery ticket appeal that I like because he's an injury away from being a featured guy, you know, stepping in for a guy in Harris who scored 15 touchdowns. And then also, if he does get that bigger role in the passing game, he could be, you know, a really difference maker, I think, for fantasy managers, especially at his cost where he's going, you know, round 10 or later.
Yeah, as we look at that backfield, I'm definitely in agreement with, you know, you said it kind of tongue-in-cheek. I don't want to invest in this backfield, but is this something with Damian Harris? Do you find yourself drafting Harris anywhere, or is it really, okay, based on that price tag for Damian Harris, I'm going to wait and get Ramondre Stevenson in round 10, like you said?
Yeah, they're ranked very close for me, and they're obviously not being drafted very close, you know, right, at least based on what the ADP is right now. So, yeah, I typically let somebody else take Harris, and I gravitate toward Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, if Ramondre Stevenson can really step forward into that third down receiving work, which is what has been talked about already this offseason, they're saying that he's been working hard on that this offseason, then you have that safe floor to lean back on, but then potentially the upside, like you mentioned, if Damian Harris does miss time. And if it doesn't work out with Ramondre Stevenson, it's a 10th round pick. It's a 10th round pick or later, but you're saying draft Ramondre Stevenson everywhere that you can this year. I'm going to go here for my first must-have running back, A.J. Dillon, the running back for the Green Bay Packers here, going a little bit outside of the first four rounds here. As we look at Dillon, and I've talked a lot about him already this offseason, so I don't want to spend a ton of time. I want to hear Jamie's picks here. But with Dillon, he is someone that I find myself drafting everywhere that I can in that fifth, sixth round. He is RB 24 ADP on Underdog. I currently have him at RB 20, so just slightly ahead of where he's going in ADP. But I look at Dillon as an incredibly talented running back, someone who has surprised me. After coming out of Boston College, I did not have him very high in my pre-draft rankings, but he has surprised me here. For all running backs last season with more than 40 rush attempts, Dillon finished with the third highest PFF rushing grade. So we know that he's got the talent. There's even a report earlier today that is saying expect Dillon to see more work in the passing game this year. And I think that we are going to need him more on the ground too, as they move Jones around the formation as a receiver to help balance out that, you know, wide receiver core and all the questions that we've got there. Plus the upside. You use the word lottery ticket with Ramondre Stevenson, and that is the way that I'm looking at A.J. Dillon. I do not want Aaron Jones to miss time. I love drafting Aaron Jones this year, but we have to at least talk about that when we're looking at these running backs later on in fantasy and saying, what's the upside? Is that lottery ticket there? And the lottery ticket is 100% there with A.J. Dillon this year in Green Bay. Any thoughts on A.J. Dillon before we move on to your second must-have running back?
I got to tell you, I agree 100% with what you said. I love the fact that they're going to probably increase his role in the passing game, and it makes a lot of sense because I think we'll see both running backs on the field, you know, more so than we've ever seen. We saw at the end of last season, certainly he took on a bigger role. One of my favorite stats for him is he had four games last year with at least four catches, and in those games he averaged over 15 PPR points per game. So he showed that he can do it and do it to a very nice level. You mentioned the lottery ticket appeal. I'm almost at the point, you know, just given my concerns about somebody like Antonio Gibson or even Josh Jacobs, that I'm getting close to wanting A.J. Dillon ahead of those guys. I haven't pulled the trigger yet to rank it that way, but full disclosure, I'm in a draft right now. We're doing a draft with our colleagues. I'm clearly focused on our show here, but I had a tough call of taking a fourth receiver, in Marquise Brown in round five or A.J. Dillon. I only had one running back at that point. Jacobs on the board. Gibson was still on the board. I thought, let's see what happens. Maybe play it out, see how it, you know, fell. So I took Marquise Brown, but you know, now I'm having a little buyer's remorse because I do love the upside of A.J. Dillon.
Hey, fantasy sports fans, are you ready for a new challenge this year? Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. Do you think you can create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty. Use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off your next team. Again, that's sign up at dynastyowner.com to get started on building your dynasty today and use the promo code PLAYBOOK for $5 off of your next team. It's funny that you mentioned those two players, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson. Literally earlier today, I did pull the trigger and move A.J. Dillon above both of those guys. I'm not even joking. Those were the two players that I moved A.J. Dillon above. So love that you mentioned that. Dillon is someone that I am slowly just moving further and further up my draft board this year, and I'm loving the value. If you want to, and I've used this example already, but if you want to start out your draft going and running back in the first two rounds, hammering wide receiver, maybe you take a shot on a Travis Kelce, a Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, you know, or you want to go early quarterback with Josh Allen, AJ Dillon is waiting there for you as your RB2 typically in round five, round six. And that's an incredible value point that I think this year for a player that I'm looking to draft every single place that I can. Let's turn it back over to you. Your second must-have running back for 2022.
Similar to Ramondre Stevenson for me, and that's Kenneth Gainwell. Miles Sanders has missed four games each of the last two seasons. You know, we know that he hates fantasy managers, so fantasy football. So, you know, we can knock him for that if you want to. I'm not going to, but I think Miles Sanders will be okay. You know, I'm not really worried about him producing at a much higher level. But it's also the fact that I think we'll see them use, you know, multiple guys. I hope it's only two. I don't want to see Boston Scott being wedged in there. And, you know, we'll probably get the Boston Scott Giants game that we always get every year.
Right.
But I think Gainwell will have a bigger role. I think he'll certainly be a factor in the passing game to whatever degree. But again, if Miles Sanders does miss time, is it going to be Gainwell or Scott or a combination of the two? I don't really know the answer to that, but I love the offensive line. I love the offense. I think they're going to really be significantly improved with the addition of AJ Brown and just Nick Sirianni kind of getting a little bit more balance. Too pass heavy in the beginning part of the season, too run heavy in the second part of the season. I think we'll see a much more balanced attack. But I love the upside of what Gainwell brings. I hope to see him on the field more and just, you know, some passing down situations. And again, you know, if there is that Sanders injury, which we tend to have, I think we can see a good season for Gainwell for sure.
Do you think Gainwell will ever enter into the low-end flex conversation, someone that you could potentially roll out there if Sanders does play, you know, if Sanders is healthy, or is this really just a high upside insurance policy, someone that you're going to have sit on the bottom of your bench there until we get that or potentially get that injury for Sanders?
No, I think he will work into the flex conversation. You know, I think there is room in this backfield. You know, we saw it last year, you know, where they did start using multiple guys, especially when Sanders was out. You know, it's just a matter of how much do they trust Miles Sanders? How much does Nick Sirianni want to overwork him because of that injury concern? So it's not the type of guy you want to start your season with saying, okay, Kenneth Gainwell is my flex, but we know how injuries go. We know how the season works. We know bye weeks are obviously a factor. He can absolutely be in that conversation for sure.
All right. For me, my second must-have running back, I will go with Damian Pierce, the rookie running back for the Houston Texans here. This is someone that I cannot stop drafting everywhere this year. We look at Damian Pierce coming out of Florida, criminally underutilized at Florida. He was a very, very talented running back, had a three-down profile, and just simply was not given the ball, was not given the majority of the touches at Florida, really given that, you know, that spotlight to be able to showcase his talent week in and week out. He showed up to the Senior Bowl, showcased his pass protecting ability, showcased his receiving ability out of the backfield, on top of being a big bruising running back that can punch it in at the goal line. Gets drafted in the fourth round to the Houston Texans, and a lot of people see that and say, this is just not a guy who I think is very talented. I don't think that he's going to get the workload. But when you consider that he was underutilized at Florida, the Texans got a discount with this guy. And we look at Lovie Smith here stepping in as the head coach. The last time that Lovie Smith was a head coach was in 2015 for Tampa Bay. Doug Martin saw 288 carries that year. So this is a head coach that is not afraid to lean on one running back if he is getting the job done. And so if we look at Damian Pierce and the competition that he has, Marlon Mack, we have heard it next to nothing. I don't know, Jamie, if you've noticed it. I have heard next to nothing about Marlon Mack from beat reporters, from anything this offseason about Mack in Houston. Heard some things about Rex Burkhead, but all the news is coming out about Damian Pierce and being incredibly positive. He's RB 42 on Underdog's ADP, RB 34 in my ranking. So this is a big difference here for a guy that I think that you can wait a little bit later and you can get him onto your roster as a bench player. He has the potential to be the starting running back for the Houston Texans for an offense that probably is not going to be, you know, a top five unit in 2022, but volume is king. And for where you can get him in drafts, I love scooping up Damian Pierce everywhere that I can. All right, Jamie, let's turn it back over to you, your third running back for 2022.
Well, first off, you're talking to a Florida Gator, so I love Damian Pierce, and, you know, I'm excited about his opportunity there. My next guy is Nyheim Hines. This is obviously clearly more a PPR, half PPR guy as opposed to those of us or those people that still play in non-PPR. I play in a couple of those, but clearly the majority of us play in PPR and half PPR. I got a chance this offseason to speak to their offense coordinator, the running backs coach. I did a story for our magazine on Jonathan Taylor. So, you know, obviously I have to ask about Nyheim Hines as well. And they're really excited about him. You know, you heard the Frank Wright comment earlier this offseason about if I was playing fantasy football, I would draft him. You know, I think we're going to see these guys line up in the backfield together at times, but certainly Nyheim Hines getting the opportunity to catch the ball from Matt Ryan. We know that that's the type of quarterback that's going to favor pass catching running backs because he's not going to be mobile. And I think you go back to the 2020 campaign for Hines when he was much more involved in the passing game, had 63 catches on 74 targets with Phillip Rivers. I think he's in line for that. He's kind of a dark horse candidate for me to be in the neighborhood. I certainly think top 10, but maybe top five in receptions among running backs if things kind of slant in his favor. You look at this receiving core, you know, Michael Pittman's got star potential, and we like, at least I, you know, I don't speak for you, but like, you know, I like Alec Pierce. I'm hopeful, yep. Maybe Paris Campbell. But, you know, somebody's going to catch passes here, and aside from Michael Pittman, and it wouldn't surprise me if Hines is second on the team in targets and receptions. And so, easy, just guy, you know, you asked about Kenneth Gainwell as a flex. I think Naeem Hines can be a flex in PPR, potentially in half PPR. Scored 6 touchdowns in that 2020 campaign, so he found the end zone. Could be a very surprise fantasy option with his pass catching role.
It was really interesting when you sent over your names, Jamie. I looked at both of Kenneth Gainwell and Naeem Hines and was like, I have not thought about them at all this offseason. I really have not thought much about these guys. And whenever I've been in mock drafts and anything like that, I've seen Hines, I've seen Gainwell. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I'll just pass by him. And the more that you know, the more that I thought about it after seeing you, you know, mention these names and hearing you talk about Naeem Hines too, I'm buying in a little bit more because I do think that the key thing in Naeem Hines' favor to see more involvement. And that's been the thing. He's got the talent and we know that he's always good for like one or two pop off performances. We just have no way of predicting when they're going to come. But the key thing working in his favor is who's at tight end this year, right? Mo Alie-Cox, you know, Jelani Woods, both of those guys do not profile as target hogs over the middle of the field. And that's typically the correlation that you see is tight ends and running backs. Those two typically eat away at each other from a running, from a target share perspective. So if we have some ambiguity there at the tight end position in Indianapolis and Naeem Hines is going to see more involvement as a receiver, then we've got, like you mentioned, in half and full PPR formats, I think Hines could enter into that flex conversation. I'll push back here and just say really quick, do you think that he has the upside? Like, you know, we talked about Gainwell. We talked about some of these other guys where if the starter above them goes down, then they potentially skyrocket up the rankings. Do you see that happening for Naeem Hines here in Indianapolis if, God forbid, Jonathan Taylor goes down? Or is it, okay, he'll still kind of maintain in his similar role?
I think he'll mostly maintain his similar role, but I do think that he'll certainly see a snap count increase, a playing time increase. I think a target increase. I just don't know if the carries will dramatically increase. You know, they did bring in Philip Lindsay for what that's worth, and clearly his resume would probably say he's more of the guy that would step into Taylor's role as the running downs guy. Or maybe, you know, we've seen this franchise mistakenly so at times, you know, with the Trent Richardson move, but they've gone out and got a guy in the middle of the season if they did feel that they needed somebody. So I don't know if Hines is going to be the direct handcuff, the direct replacement for Jonathan Taylor from a carry's perspective, but you probably see a much more pass heavy approach. And, you know, his production would probably, you know, peak a little bit more if Taylor wasn't there.
I like the theme of the names that we have mentioned so far, where we talk a lot about the starter and the backup guy is not getting a ton of airtime. I'm going to continue that here with Khalil Herbert, the running back for the Chicago Bears, where we've talked a lot about David Montgomery already this offseason, saying like he is someone who's just going to be, you know, a safe option for you. He's going to see a ton of work. And Khalil Herbert is sitting at RB 51 in ADP over on Underdog. He is someone that no one is really talking about. No one really is thinking about. And I'm looking at this situation for Chicago with Luke Getsy coming in as the offensive coordinator, saying this is the guy who just came from A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, utilizing multiple running backs here. And we saw that kind of progress and develop as the season went along last year, where A.J. Dillon started to see more and more work in that offense. And I think we look at David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert. You've got some other guys behind him on the depth chart. But I think that Herbert showed last year that he has the talent to make an impact for running backs last season. With a minimum of 100 rush attempts, Herbert had the sixth highest PFF rushing grade. He finished with as many 10-plus yard runs as A.J. Dillon and Saquon Barkley last year on just 103 rush attempts. He also had a higher breakaway yardage percentage last season, which is measured by PFF, than Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, James Conner, Austin Eckler, Najee Harris, and the list keeps going. Herbert showed last year that he should have gone a lot earlier than the sixth round of the 2021 NFL draft. And I think that he is a perfect fit for this scheme, which is coming underneath the Kyle Shanahan outside zone scheme. That's what Herbert can bring to the table as an outside zone runner with some speed. That's a compliment to David Montgomery. David Montgomery does not have that. He's someone who's able to run between the tackles and power and just incredible contact balance. Herbert is that lightning to David Montgomery's thunder. I think we're going to see more work here for Herbert. Plus the upside. We keep talking about that lottery ticket, plus that upside if Montgomery misses time. So Herbert there, RB 42 in my rankings, RB 51 in ADP currently. Another guy, I think that you can wait, and I think he should be going a lot earlier than where he is. I'll turn this back over to you, Jamie, for your final must-have running back for 2022.
It's the ultimate lottery ticket, at least, you know, based on what we've seen the last couple of seasons, Alexander Mattison. And, you know, we've heard Dalvin Cook say a little bit this offseason, if you followed it, that he thinks they're going to play Mattison a little bit more, you know, makes some sense. You know, Cook with the shoulder problems, obviously he's missed some time with leg injuries, and, you know, 27 years old. So he's starting to get to that point, you know, of age for that position where you got to be a little bit worried. And again, regime change, you know, so maybe they're going to realize, okay, we don't have to just wait until we need to break glass for emergency and use Mattison. We can probably put him on the field in some spots. But clearly, if there's an injury, and we saw it in the two games against the Lions and the one game against Seattle last year, Alexander Mattison produces like Dalvin Cook. And so that's the type of guy that if you get that pocket of three games, four games, five games, again, like you said about Dylan and Jones, you don't want to see Jones go down. I certainly don't want to see Dalvin Cook go down. But we know that there's a guy behind him that you can have and can be a superstar. And so we had this conversation. I don't know where you come out on handcuffs and drafting guys in the first round. When you start to look at it, I mean, yes, you could say Isaiah Spiller for Eckler, Deontay Foreman for McCaffrey. Those guys, we don't know if they'll produce at the same level. You know, whoever's the backup in Pittsburgh, you know, whoever's going to be, you know, whether it's Hassan Haskins in Tennessee.
Sure.
If you want to secure yourself and just say, okay, if I take Dalvin Cook in the first round, I know what I'm getting if I take Mattison. It's not a bad formula to approach with. It's also obviously you want to steal somebody else's handcuff. That's usually the way I play. But you get Alexander Mattison on your team, you got to be patient. You got to understand that you may have a dead roster spot in terms of guy you can't use if he's not playing. But oh my God, he can win you a week and potentially win you a season if Cook misses several weeks during the year.
Mattison and drafting Mattison comes into roster construction for me, where if I look at the rest of my draft and how it's gone so far, if I'm at the point where Madison's ADP is starting to come up and I've got just two running backs on my roster, I'm probably not taking Mattison as my RB3. But as an RB4, then I'm perfectly RB5 in some spots with where his ADP is in, you know, most platforms. Then you can get Mattison as your RB4, RB5, sign me up all day long. Because I've wondered as we've gone throughout the offseason, and we heard not only just Dalvin Cook, like they're going to play Alexander Mattison more a little bit here, but they're also talked about moving Cook around the formation, getting him more involved as a receiver, right? Okay, well, if you're, you know, moving Cook around the formation, you're getting him, you know, involved more as a receiver. Well, you can't really put a ton more on his plate from a workload perspective because he's proved that he can't really handle it. He can't really live up to that. So is Mattison going to be on the field too? Like we talked about with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones, are we going to see that in the same division with Minnesota? So Mattison, I think, could enter into that low end flex conversation if things go the way that we are kind of talking about here. Otherwise, you do have the top five running back if Dalvin Cook misses time for an offense that is probably going to be more potent than it has been in years past. For me here, the final running back that I will mention, and I can't really throw a ton of stats at you. I can't really say this is what we've seen from this player in the past. I'm going to go way down the board. I'm going to go to RB70 in underdogs ADP. That's Eno Benjamin here. I've talked about Benjamin already this offseason from a dynasty perspective, saying I think you might want to go out and buy this guy low. But as we look ahead to redraft this year, you can get him 15th, 16th round in most platforms here. And he is taking advantage of the opportunity this offseason. All reports coming out of training camp are that Eno Benjamin looks absolutely fantastic, stepping into that vacated Chase Edmonds role in this offense. And again, we talk about it with these lottery ticket players. Eno Benjamin, with James Conner above him, we know that James Conner is not the most durable player. And I think Conner is absolutely fine to take at his current ADP. I think he is a great selection as an RB2. But that upside for Benjamin to enter into the in full PPR formats, I think the top 24 discussion with the workload that he could see as a receiver for a dynamic offense, then you're potentially talking about the RB1 for the Arizona Cardinals, and he's being drafted at RB70. Now, I understand there's some unknowns. There's some concerns with Darrell Williams being signed. I backed off of Benjamin just a little bit when we got that news that Darrell Williams signed because I thought that he was stepping into that RB2 role. But again, you got to pay attention to the reports, the news that's coming out. Benjamin is absolutely taking advantage and stepping into that RB2 role. He's received nothing but praise so far this offseason. Any thoughts on Eno Benjamin before we wrap it up here, Jamie?
Yeah, no, I think like you said, it's fascinating to watch. It's going to be one of those preseason situations where you want to see, you know, is it going to be Williams the first guy up? Is it going to be Benjamin the first guy up? You know, Keontae Ingram is somebody I think that we'll make it, you know, a look at as well. I'm also curious to see based on what, you know, I got a chance to speak to Cliff Kingsbury at the combine and then at the owners meetings. And one conversation that came up was I asked him about Rondale Moore. And, you know, he said, we kind of like that Deebo Samuel role for sure. Rondale Moore. And so is he going to be kind of the second, you know, ball carrier there behind behind James Conner. And so then what happens if Conner gets hurt? Is it a committee? Is it Williams? You know, there was the team site did a story on Darrell Williams, I think it was yesterday, about just his veteran presence and knowing how to win, you know, being with the Chiefs and everything that he did last year. So you never know how coaches go, if they're going to go with the guy that may has a little bit more guy that might have a little bit more juice like Benjamin, or the guy that knows how to block and knows how to keep their quarterback upright, you know, be a little bit more of a safety valve. So I'm going to take a little bit more of a cautious approach, but certainly, you know, like you said, based on his ADP, he's free. He's certainly going to be one of those guys. I think that wouldn't be a surprise if we have the Elijah Mitchell type of situation where he goes undrafted and then there's a Conner injury week one and he's the one that blows up and has that big type of performance. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with him, but absolutely somebody you should have on your radar.
Cautious approach, but like RB 70 off the board, take the shot, your final pick, take that shot, see how it pans out, pay attention, keep that name on your mind here as we move into draft season. All right, Jamie, thank you so much for taking some time out talking must-have running backs here. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on at CBS Fantasy? And I'm sure that they already do follow you, but where they can find and follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Kyle. This has been fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. That's JameyEisenberg. You can check us out at cbssports.com, our show, Fantasy Football Today. Our podcast version is on YouTube, but wherever podcasts are found. And then our video show, which is on CBS Sports HQ, which is our 24-hour streaming network. That's live noon Eastern, Monday through Friday. And then once the season starts, we're live at 10 a.m. on Sundays, hoping that you get some great fantasy knowledge like you get here from Kyle as well.
I appreciate it. All right. Remember, Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey giveaway going on here for the month of August. So make sure to go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details on how you can enter. All right. That'll do it for Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.